All right, here we are live. Wrecked Radio, episode 72. We got the legendary poker player Tom Dwan with us today. Thanks for showing up, man. Thanks for coming out. But before we get into talking to him a bit, let's go over our sponsor, OSF, your weekly job. Let's see if we can hit it out of the park today.
Hey, guys. As you know, the show is sponsored by Rollbit. We'll have two codes to give away. First code is TomDwan6819, TomDwan6819. We'll have another code at the end of the show as well. Do we have double codes this week? What was the
I don't know. You're the code guy. You tell me.
What do they get from the code?
What do they get from the code?
I've got to do the coupons, right? I'm gonna now set up these trades, right?
I think they get free bets or free trades.
Yeah, honestly, you get free bets or trades or spins on Rollbit. I'm told that the codes are double redemptions.
Fuck yeah, we love to see double redemptions. I guess I don't know what that means, but I guess two times many redemptions.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know. We're coming in on a tumultuous market day, I guess. I mean, things are down. Bitcoin seems to have broken through the 60K level.
So I was wondering why you were so chirpy this morning. I was like,
oh man,
I've never seen you in such a good mood, man.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know. Doesn't bring me joy to see everyone lose money. It doesn't. But I mean, like, you know.
But it does.
We just enjoy when everyone's in the same misery that you've been in, you know?
Yeah, there you go. You know, shared trauma, shared misery.
Did you show it, BBM?
I actually missed the Bitcoin short. I've been traveling for the past couple of days. I'm in my new spot now, but I caught the Solana short for a bit. Honestly, didn't do as well as I really should have for somebody who's been looking for this move. You know, I'm just as depressed as everyone else, but my number's not going down at least. You trading at all, Tom, or what are you doing with this stuff?
No, I was just
more of a buy and hold guy.
The last like 2 or 3 weeks.
You did what?
I said I was traveling a bunch too the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's easy to miss these moves as you're traveling. You really have to like, you know, be on the ball with these things. I mean,
I was traveling too, guys. I had no risk. I missed it. Missed it completely.
Yeah, missed it. Yeah, okay. That's the sound of a guy holding some meme coins.
How did the duck happen?
Oh, man, you missed it. You were about 3 weeks late.
Mike. He'll talk all about it.
Yeah, Kenyon was there, but it's fully made me the dev of this thing. But we made a meme coin on this show about 4 weeks ago, and like within about 10 minutes, it just like flew. It went all the way up to about 25 million, and then I like panicked, burnt all the supply, the dev supply, and then I've just kind of been saving my reputation since. Let's put it that way. So it's been on a redemption arc for me, man on a mission. And this thing went up to like 50, and then obviously Solana has gone down literally 50% since it came out. But it's still hanging out around 20.
Is that like 16 or 17 or something?
Yeah, it's still doing okay.
It's like
the duck's looking good.
Yeah, it's a number 3 pump fun coin, I think. Number 3 or 4 or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I met those guys yesterday for the first time.
Yeah, they're good guys. They were actually really helpful to the process because they want these coins to do well, and often they don't. So they've been good.
Yeah, I mean the chart looks like a buy. Come on, it's gonna have a blend in it. The content's been great. I mean the guys that are pumping out the content have done a great job. I don't want to turn this into another Epic Duck episode because it seems like it keeps going there. But it's been a fun coin to follow for sure. Anyway, what else is going on in the market? I mean, the mega meme coins are down too, like Bowden, all those things. I don't know.
Anything that Ansem has touched in the last few months it's really been an arc for him, right? Like why did he take that fight for all of our bags?
I don't know. I mean, I personally wouldn't have taken that fight on no training. Maybe it would have trained a little bit, but you know, teach your own. Sometimes you don't want to train. But OSF, would you take a fight on no training?
No,
he's munching. He's not even on the show.
Seeing some beans and Doritos.
Oh, you're the duck intern, are you?
No, I'm just. I'm just eating Doritos, man.
That's very strange. Very strange.
Nothing to no conclusions to be drawn from this. No, I would not take a flight on no
flavor?
Training.
What flavor?
Heatwave.
Oh.
That's like the normal one, isn't it?
What's going
there's
on
a lot there. To read into that. There's a lot to read into that.
How do I
I'm trying to get these trades up. How do I do it again? How do I claim? Does anyone know?
Oh, the trades were supposed to enroll it. Fuck.
Yeah, like all right, I'll try and do that in the background, but I am trying to sort that, guys. So
are you gonna short or are you gonna fucking long and lose all money or what's gonna happen?
Let's ask Tom.
Yeah,
well, so would you long or short right now for the audience?
We basically have to put on three trades and roll bit at the beginning of the show and the profits go to some audience winners. And if
there hasn't been any winners.
We haven't made any profit for the last few shows, so there's been no prizes, but
yeah.
I've got to do a capture to get these. Hold on.
To do like some crazy leverage, I'm assuming.
Yeah, we're gonna do some leverage, of course.
Well, I'm saying do you do like, you know, 50x or do you do like 1000x?
You can do whatever they allow you to.
I think those coupons have a limit. I think we do 100 or something.
No, it depends on the limit of my account, I think it is. But yeah, they don't win. Oh. They only win your winnings, right? So you have to kind of go max degen rather than anything boring.
Yeah, we used to give away like fucking CryptoPunks and shit, but we've fallen far from our time.
Yeah, we gave away about 600 grand and they were like, you know what? You're not worth it.
Now we're giving away like fucking $1 if we can. And usually we just gamble at the end of the show and lose it. So anyway.
They're giving us $4,000 actually for each one. So it is double. It's double this week.
All right. Well, you just missed a really nice short, to be honest. So I don't know what you're going to do now.
I think we've got to go long, man. One of these days.
Can we get the screen up and see the options?
Yeah, hold on.
I don't think there's a long right here.
You don't?
I don't. Like, why would it bounce?
Let me see if I can claim these now. Hold on.
Correct radio. Hey,
three. Let me share my screen. I'm going to share my screen and we can decide what we're going to do.
All right. And then Tom's going to decide, I guess.
I don't want the responsibility.
You don't want the responsibility?
The comment section just said to give you the reins.
It's a low bar. You can be a hero here.
We're zooming in. That's a 1 minute chart. That's the, I guess we should do.
Just fucking short it. Just take 4,000. They short it on check.
How long is the trade on for? Like an hour?
Just the duration of the show. It's a pretty low hit rate.
Come on, long has to be better than shorting for an hour. You're trying to make your fans money.
All right, that's fair. Well, you just missed the long. Fuck, look at this market. It's gapping around.
What are we doing here, lads?
Oh, God, you've got to pull the trigger fast, though. See
we've got three trades. Long or short? Let's do 500x on Bitcoin, and we're going to... So we would be busted. Ooh, that's tight.
500.
Let's do 250. Let's do 250.
What would that liquidate at?
That would liquidate very
shorting with this button.
Yeah.
You gotta put that
long. Do we want to short or we want to go long?
I thought you were going to long. I don't fucking
know. Take the wheels. Come on, guys. What are we doing?
I don't care.
I mean, I feel like if you're long and you don't want to liquidate above like 56.5 or something. Right, like you want to hope that if it's an hour, you want to hope that thing holds for at least an hour. Right?
Yeah. I think we put one degen long, one degen short on the majors, and then we'll do something with the meme coin. So I'm gonna go degen.
Like I can't lose.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm gonna go degen short on Bitcoin. I'm gonna go. Oh, I don't even want to go long on Solana.
We might make like 10 bucks profit.
Just do fucking ETH and SOL.
Yeah, one ETH.
Long ETH?
Long ETH. God,
people talk about it lately. You never know. It could get like a spaz bump.
Okay.
Wait. Bitcoin looks like it's going to go to zero.
Yeah, it does, isn't it? Right? I want to short all of this. We are going max short, I'm afraid.
Let's just go max short.
We're going max short. I've got 100 on the...
The audience is definitely just longing the fuck out of it. The comments are like...
The comments are like, long, please.
I'm actually short right now. I might cover now that you just shorted.
Yeah, I think you should long ETH with like.
Oh my guys, come on!
Oh, we're in the red now.
Did you already put it on?
We're long Pepe. Okay, we're going long Pepe, guys. We'll be long.
An hour.
We've got long Pepe, 25x levered for Pepe. Give it a little bit of a.
Like 100.
Is it even gonna move?
30x for Pepe. 30x for.
All right.
All right, we'll see where we're at at the end of this.
From this hellhole of trading. Okay, great trades. These are fire.
They're all down. Somehow they're all down.
It's not looking good, lads.
Okay. Anyway. All right. Okay, so we got
one. Yeah. So are we having this one in the background, or should we just have it? Because it's going to, I mean, we're all just going to be looking at it if
yeah,
I keep
going. No, we'll
take it off.
Stop sharing.
We'll come back to it later. Yeah. Anyway.
Maybe 20 minutes or some shit. Check it.
Right? Yeah, exactly. All right. So, Tom, welcome to the show. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, people who don't know Tom, he's a legendary poker player. Probably one of the most well-known high-stakes cash game poker players in the world. And not a big tournament player. Right? You don't play a lot of tournaments, right, Tom? Or at all?
No, I mean, I used to more, but the last few years, it's like, have you played any recently?
I mean, not since, like, actually, I played the one in at the Hard Rock recently, but otherwise, just a main event. I don't really play, like, much.
Like, people tank for a minute before folding, you know, 9-4 offsuit under the gun kind of thing.
Like, yeah. Those are the Euros. So, you know, the Euro guys that we've had maybe one or two of them on. They're tough.
So I'm going
to play Triton's fun.
I'll play those, yeah.
From what I hear. But anyway, you really cut your teeth in the high stakes cash. You started online, right?
Yeah.
And then got into some live. I don't know. Like, what are you doing nowadays? Are you still running just in the cash streets or what's up?
The last like 2 months, I barely played. Or maybe a month and a half, something like that. The next month, I'm going to Cambodia in a few days for a tournament. I've never been to Cambodia before. And wow, then Triton for 2 weeks. And then the Hustler $1 million game thing for 4 days, 3 days, something like that.
Nice. That's a good little circuit.
Playing shit nonstop. Yeah.
PLO or No Limit? What's the game of choice nowadays?
The Cambodia thing, I think, is short deck. Triton, I don't even know what our tourneys are. 1 sec. Triton, we got almost all No. Oh, the last like 4 days are PLO. Yeah. And then the $1 million game Hustler stuff will be No Limit.
You played in the last $1 million game and had like the biggest pot, I think, right? It was like a $3.5 million pot or some shit. So that was pretty epic.
I think it was 3-1 or 3-2. But yeah, it was the biggest TV one.
Those games get pretty deep for sure. What about I guess let's talk a little bit about how you got started and just like the beginnings of Tom Duan. I think we should start there before we get into the
new. I was reading some of your history, and literally it's just a litany of Tom lost a ton of money and then won it all back. Like, it seems as though you had a lot of holes throughout your career. So yeah, let's go back to where it all started and how you got into such crazy risks so early on.
Well, I don't know how true the public stuff is. I mean, I remember they said I was an engineer or an English major. Because I'm an engineering major, I was only in school for a year. But somehow, like, someplace published that I guess they had ENG and they thought it meant English. And then they're like, you know, people told me, like, no, I know it was English. I'm like, no, believe me, it was engineering, you know. But yeah, so I started playing online. And then when I was like 21 or 22, I started playing a lot in Vegas live. And soon after that was when like high stakes poker was kicking off. And it just happened that those shows were like really liked by people and stuff. What is this?
I don't know. The intern's bringing up some stuff here. What is this?
This looks like a tournament.
You brought up a Dewan. Is that even Dewan? Oh, yeah.
Wow. Back in the day.
I think that's like a tournament or something, though.
Because it was back to the bankroll trajectory, as you were talking about there. So it started online, college. You only went for a year, you said.
Yeah.
Dropped out to play poker then, I would assume, right?
I mean, I failed out, not dropped out. I like would have stayed in. I just didn't go to the classes I didn't like because I was already good from poker kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so the stuff I liked, I still wanted to learn and all. But sometimes they'd say, you need to learn this because it's the only way you can make it. And I'd be like, yeah, you know, I don't know about that.
Like, a lot of those courses like that in the college curriculum. So you went to Vegas, right? You said
Vegas was later. That was when I was probably like 22 or something. So I put $50 online when I was 17, and then made it from there.
$50 straight, then never had to reload online.
Yeah, I mean, way later. There were times I busted my account later and stuff, obviously. But no, I never did a small stakes. Yeah.
I was more of a put $50 on in college and run it to 1,000 and lose it all like 1,000 times. So I did not have the same trajectory as you on that one. Not as successful. So I guess where did it go? Like Michael was saying, you've had a lot of bankroll rises and falls. Maybe, I mean, like my career has been volatile in trading as well. We take like high risks or play some big games and take big wins, big losses. Have you had a lot of times like that, or can you think of anything that stands out in the bankroll volatility?
Yeah, so I think around like Black Friday and stuff, the whole, I don't know if you guys ever played online back then, but the whole situation changed a lot, like before and after Black Friday. You used to have online games that were really good and ran all the time and like pretty reasonably stable considering for gambling. And then all of a sudden, you know, the games were bigger, were live, were very occasional. It was way more political. A lot of them were in like Macau, you know. So yeah, I don't know. It kind of changed from there, right? Like before the sites were shut down, it was a lot more chill, I think.
Yeah. So it got harder to keep the consistency with how like the live games were run, I guess.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I think I might've had a losing year before Black Friday. I think I did maybe one or two or whatever, but it was like really not common, you know, even like losing months weren't super common, or like maybe a few months you lost or whatever. But after then, like when you're playing these big live games, it would happen all the time, right? Cause like you've even seen a little, I think, of like the Vegas games and stuff, that it could be a game that's like 50, 100, or 100, 200, and all of a sudden for one day, it's 501K. Yeah. Like if you run bad that day and lose 10 buy-ins, like you're not going to go win 50 buy-ins back in a month or two, 50, 100, or 100, 200, or whatever. But yeah, so actually, I thought about that stuff a bit. I wanted to ask you guys what you thought of the CZ stuff, but I thought of it a bit through like the Black Friday kind of lens, you know. But what did you guys think of it? I was curious.
I was surprised how low the sentence was, like just 4 months.
What did he do?
But he got like a massive they got a massive fine, didn't they? But I thought
$4 billion, right?
Yeah, I thought they would have put him away for like 3 years or something, because yeah, like a massive fine is a big thing, but he's basically still in the game, right? Like 4 months doesn't take someone out of the game. So I just thought it would be longer than that, but
I thought it'd be way longer. Chinese national
lawyers.
Chinese national of a crypto company that are literally trying to throw crypto in jail everywhere in the US. It seems crazy.
What did he really do though? He seems like he has enabled money laundering. I guess, you know.
I guess. Yeah. Yeah, I think he just
did. Seem like he did that much.
He basically just did what SBF was doing. He had his own internal trading arm, right? So there was like mixing.
I don't think it was commingled as much, though, was it? I mean, like, I don't know.
He definitely had his own arm. That's what they got him for. And then, yeah, some of the money laundering stuff. Like, they were operating in Russia for a long time, right? Like a long, long time. So they claimed that,
like, the sanctioned countries, and I guess they encouraged like U.S. users when they weren't supposed to.
Yeah,
et cetera. I don't know. Yeah, it definitely doesn't seem like a long time to be out. We've lost time. I don't know what happened to him. But
we've already been liquidated in one of our trades, guys.
No way, have we?
I'm trying to find a soldier. We already
one is down. One is down. The Bitcoin short.
Liquidated on our guest. He lost the charger. Liquidated on a trade.
Do we cut the other one and flip long?
Nope. If I lose, you're in the trade. Once it's done, it's done. Yeah. You only get the profit from the trade. So like, the fact that we got liquidated, you kind of want that that just shows you took enough risk, basically, in this scenario. We just called it wrong. But yeah, at the moment we're up on the Pepe trade, so hopefully we still got some profits for you guys. Wow. But we are also down on the ETH trade. Man, we have not had a good run on these.
Why did you guys short it? You had an hour.
Oh,
Tom literally did say the long.
This is what happens every single week. I put on the trade, and then everyone afterwards is but I said you should do this.
Where were you, Tom? Is that like fucking Bellagio or some shit?
I'm in Les Ambassadors in London.
Okay. It looked like a casino ceiling.
Yeah. I took the wrong charge. I didn't realize it was like an hour long. So that's why I came here.
Yeah, we got a full hour of sweating trades and talking nonsense.
So what was let's go through some of your worst losses or your worst holes that you've got out of. Like what is the story of Tom's one in those early days? Like you obviously came up, you said, from college, and then you started, obviously it was good timing because that's when they started to the big TV audiences, like we were watching any of these games. But was it like a glamorous lifestyle back then, or was it like living game to game? Like how did you get through? And like, I guess people bankroll a lot of the players on for these cash games. Like how does it work behind the scenes?
So one sec. So can I join from my phone if this dies, or do I need to run and grab a charger?
No, phone works as well, I think, right?
Yeah, phone works well.
Yeah, I'll grab this phone charger back. Like the one people knew best, I think, was the Isildur stuff. He clipped me for like $3.5 million or $4 million. I don't know exactly. The numbers were public though, because it was all like Full Tilt. I think almost all Full Tilt. They, you know, that was for online. That was like a really extreme downswing. But for actually like those live Macau games and stuff, that wasn't as extreme of a downswing. Like I was saying to KBM, sometimes you'd have a game where you're playing certain stakes and all of a sudden, you know, an hour later,
the stakes comes down,
right? Or whatever. Like, and usually if you're doing that, you're happy to be in the game. But there were definitely times like there was one guy, I'll tell you one funny story from London. A guy you guys would probably know the name of, but I probably shouldn't say who, but we're playing heads up, and he was like regarded as a big VIP. And we're playing very big, like bigger than Isildur and I played. I didn't have a huge piece. I don't remember exactly what I had, but I had definitely enough piece that it hurt. And Paul had a big piece of me in that game. And so I think I lost like 8 buy-ins, but it might have been 16. I don't remember exactly the stakes we're playing. And this is to like a big VIP heads up. And then, you know, maybe I had lost, say, like 80% of that. And like the last buy-in, I was kind of like, I'll just go to sleep. And he's like, no, call Paul. One more buy-in, right? And I called Paul. He's like, okay, fine, something like that. And then, you know, and I had said to Paul, like, if I lose this, I want to go to sleep, right? And I lost that. And then the guy I'm playing is like, okay, call Paul. I'm like, no, Paul said no, right? And it's like partly that I didn't want to keep playing too. I'm like, grumpy, I got clipped for a bunch by this big VIP. I'm like, and then the guy's laughing. He's like, okay, call, and says another guy's name, like other than Paul, like a guy that never had any of my action ever and stuff. But it's like he's like, call him, he'll take a share, which is like true. And I just felt like the biggest fish. I was like, and especially if I told you who the guy was, like it's someone you'd have heard the name of, that was like around a lot, and you know, generally not winning, and he just clipped me for so much. I remember we were in Aspinall, so I was sitting there just like, what's happening?
So much that he's having you call different people for backups to keep playing. That must have been a good day for him. Like, that's the thing, like you were saying, like sometimes the games, they go from the normal stakes to some ridiculous stakes when there's a whale involved or people are drunk or something. It's like, how do you bounce back? You just have to, like, it's like if you get out of your lane trading, you take massive size and take a massive loss. Like, how do you bounce back from that in that situation? When do you come back the next day and just grind the lower stakes, and you're fine with that? Or do you get tilted, try to take some shots, or, you know?
I mean, I think I would deal with that stuff easier when it was online poker, right? When it transitioned to live, it was like, because the game, the disparity in the games could be so huge, right? So like often if win or lose, if I played huge games, a lot of times I wouldn't play smaller for days, for a week, for, you know. Whereas online, that wasn't as big a deal because you get so many more hands and stuff. But yeah.
So it's harder to call.
Am I here till my computer dies and then switching to my phone, or am I getting a charger, or what?
Yeah, switch it to the phone. We'll talk for a second while you switch.
In the meantime, we've been liquidated on one more trade.
I was about to bring up the trade. It's like you should have went long.
But we're actually up on the Pepe trade, so I'm wondering, do we
catch up? We only did like 25x.
Yeah, well,
you know, it's the only one he went long. The market,
that's
literally
the meme coin that's doing all right. We're up 2 grand. So we could take that and then decide what we're going to do with $2,000.
Just don't take it. Just fucking take it. I don't know. We'll deal with that at the end of the show. Tom, are you going to the phone or are you saying, what do you
mean, I have 5%. I thought I brought it. All
right, you're probably fine. Let's go back to Macau games. You said those are big. There's always been a mystique about you and Macau games. What the hell were the stakes just massive? What happens there? I've never been to Macau. I've only heard rumors, you know, about how crazy they were. I think they died down, right? But they were.
Not like what they were. There were some really giant ones. Now, like, they generally aren't anywhere near as big. But Macau especially, but even like other places with those same kind of groups.
Were they just like underground games, or like, is there any like cool secret info you could divulge to the guests that would make the mystique beyond the Macau games lift the curtain a bit?
They were generally casinos. Let me see. There was a time I probably can.
Suspense is killing me.
Reporters came from a big US news organization, like really prominent one. Really, really prominent. And they were trying to go film the games in Poker King. So like that Winford ran, right? And so like, you know, the one of them was like nice, the other one was like really trying to get in the spot, like being a little hustling. And so Winford was like gonna bring him, right? And the other reporter kind of said to me, like, yeah, I don't know if it's in your guys' best interest, something like that. And I like laughed and showed him a text that I had already sent someone from the casino, like, make sure you bar these people entry, don't let them around our games. Like, we don't want this shit getting public. And so they're already barred and they didn't get to film. But yeah, I don't know. A lot of those games, there's like a lot of it wasn't supposed to get super public, you know? So,
I know. It's kind of touchy to talk about these private games. And especially bringing a reporter in, it doesn't sound like it would work out. They wouldn't get the correct vibe, at least. I'm trying to think about how we can talk about some of these games and the fun stuff that happens. Or maybe
let's talk about the public ones, maybe. Like,
CZ used to run poker games.
CZ used to run poker games.
Yeah, like 10 years ago.
Did you play with them at all?
No, I never met them. But a lot of people around the exchanges in crypto had some overlap with poker. So
I heard he was a fun guy. We had a way on one of his early confidants, and he said CZ used to get after it pretty hard.
Really?
So I'm sure he'll be celebrating after he gets out of that prison sentence.
That's a game you guys need to get an invite to. It feels like, doesn't it?
Yeah, right. I think it might be an after prison game
The fucking Binance exec game feels like the sort of action you kind of want. We are up $2,500 now in the Pepe.
Really should have went long. Holy fuck. The market just bounced. Tom's switching to his phone. He wasn't prepared for the long show.
Wow, Solana, yeah. Straight back to 126. We are
fucked up by not going long.
That may be the generational bottom.
Yeah, we fucked up by not going long. I mean, that much is true.
So can you let in my phone so I can laugh at you guys for going short when it?
Yeah. We can see you're looking good there. Fucking A, we should have went long. Anyway, where do you think the craziest private games are or have been?
I think it's often when it's like a weird setting for people to play. So like it'll be a place or country or whatever that people don't expect them to be, kind of thing.
Yeah. So just like the off the grid countries. Like Cambodia.
No, Cambodia, there should be good games. That one I can like talk about some because I don't think it's as like there should be good games. There's casinos there. Basically any of the shit in casinos isn't like the biggest shit usually, or you know. But I would usually feel better when I was playing in the casino. Like if I was playing really big in the casino, I wanted to know like every reason why.
I guess let's talk about that. Yeah, like playing outside of a casino in a super high stakes game. Have you been cheated? Have you seen cheating? I mean, as poker, like, I mean, I played some high stakes games as the VIP side of things, not the pro side of things. And definitely feel like there's been some sketchy situations that I've seen, and I don't have the sample size you have. So I'd love to hear about your experience with the darker side of that thing, like that, the poker arena.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of that stuff. And I think it's, you know, I think like our legal system and stuff, right? In a lot of the Western world, it's like on a spectrum, right? Stuff's looked at different. If you jaywalk, it's not the same as if you, you know, rob a bank or shoot someone or whatever, right? There's different levels. And somehow the in gambling, people seem to like kind of forget that a lot of times. Actually, I think that happens in crypto stuff some too, right? Like, people will look at, oh, some exchange did something not perfect or whatever. And it's different than like if they were, you know, just taking all your funds and YOLOing them on, you know, Serum shitcoins or whatever the fuck SBF was doing. Like, you know, a lot of people aren't saints, but there's a big difference between certain things, right? If you have it where like someone knows the cards that are coming or knows your cards, you know, you're never going to win. And like, the amount you lose can be like, you know, 100 big blinds per 100 or more, right? It can be like crazy, crazy amounts. If instead you're playing someone that's using like RTA shit, like, yeah, that's not cool, but that's all, you know, definitely not the same kind of level.
People, I mean, that's just like using a computer to solve while playing, right?
And like, I'll give you an example. There's a guy that, people were mad at that had like ghosted for people, right? Actually, he was playing on a big VIP's account and actually ended up playing me heads up. And it's like someone that we definitely haven't always got along great or whatever. And everyone was giving him a ton of shit for that. And I was like, yo, like on the spectrum of things, this is like, I didn't like it, but it was like 2 days or something, right? Like, yeah. Shit happened. Like, what? So what? Like, yeah, he had some edge because he's playing on some VIP's account and stuff. But like, you know, me and Eka have been in games that were likely cheated. Like, that's a way bigger issue, right? This guy wasn't, like, he was doing something not cool or whatever. And people were crying about that as if it was, like, some biggest scandal ever. I think that kind of stuff happens a lot in, like, the game. Yeah. And to me, when you focus too much on that stuff, then sometimes you miss when bigger stuff's going on. When you focus too much on the little shit, right? Someone's doing something they shouldn't be or something not cool. You can miss when, like, you know, there's a tech issue or something and someone can see your cards. And, like, that shit happens online. That stuff happens live, whether it's intentional by the people running the games or not. I don't know. I'm much more focused on those things, and it's for a reason. So,
yeah.
How do you think you have your edge playing about revealing too much? Like, why do you think you've been so successful? Like, is it reading people? Are you one of these optimizers, or do you kind of play off optimal a lot? Like, how do you think you've had an edge at being so successful?
Yeah, so like 10 years ago, I was kind of careful how I answer that kind of stuff. Now it's like the cat's out of the bag. There's so many tools and stuff for people to learn. So like, if KBM and I played no limit or PLO tomorrow, I'm guessing I'd win, right? Like, if we played long enough. Mm-hmm. We've played a bit. Definitely if he was sitting there with like the RTA tools, I have no chance. Like, those tools and stuff are so like good nowadays. So whatever edge people have, it's like not a big deal to talk about. And basically, I think like the advice I'd always give people was try to like catch your mistakes, right? Like, everyone makes a ton of mistakes, but when you try to catch them, that's where like a lot of people go wrong, right? Is when you're like doing shit wrong and you don't catch it and you just keep doing it over and over. And so often your biggest edges come from when you catch other people's mistakes and they don't realize it and they keep repeating them. Speaking of, do you think that's why BitBoy was mad at me? I still don't know. Because of those poker games. Like,
the BitBoy poker games. I don't know if this is public. I don't know if this is broken. I mean, we could make it public. I don't know if we should make it public. We don't have to make any numbers.
It's public now. What are these games? Come on.
No, me, Tom, BitBoy, some other people. We played some online PLO. We don't have to name anyone else, but yeah, me, Tom, and BitBoy have played a bunch.
Well, he named Oliver too. but
yeah,
but Oliver, I think, lost in those games. That's why I'm
he
like,
did.
I
he
those
did,
games so. Or something. And I think I won. Those games.
Yeah, you were running pretty bad in those games. I actually won the most somehow, and I was
blame KBM. Go after him. Don't
no, he didn't even drop my name. We didn't. Yeah, actually, delete this recording. I wasn't in those games, but that was fun. The games have gotten a little harder now since then. But
why don't we talk about this? Because obviously, like, very famous, you're involved in the biggest pot of all time, right? Is that still the biggest pot of all time? I thought I maybe saw something.
It was the biggest on TV.
Was that the biggest pot you've ever played in real life, or is that not even close?
Not even close.
Oh, I love that. So what is the biggest pot you've ever played, you think?
No comment.
Oh, shit.
It's definitely got, it's probably 8 figures, I would assume. Jeez,
oh, just put a multiple, a rough multiple on it. Like, are we talking 5x that, or are we talking 10x that?
No comment.
It's hard to get stuff out of this guy.
But I'll tell you this, right? Like, the biggest one I ever played, I didn't have a huge piece of myself, obviously. You know, I played some giant ones with like a not huge piece of myself.
Yeah.
Were
those just like VIP games, basically? Like the Macau VIP games, probably? Those are probably the biggest.
Pretty similar. Like, without giving too many specifics, pretty similar to that kind of thing. I can tell you one hand. I can't say amounts, but I'll tell you one hand that we're playing short deck. And I was gonna, like, I think check raise. I was raising the turn. I was either check raising or I was in position and raising with like a open-ended straight flush draw versus guy for say like 1.5 times the pot, right? And then I was like, oh, you know what? Right as I was about to do it, I was like, oh, why don't I leave myself? So I left myself like literally like 8% of the pot, right? And so I raised to that amount. And I had like queen jack suited or jack eight suited. I think I must have had the nut low of the draw. So I must have been jack eight suited on like ace 10, 9, 6. And the guy called me. And then the river bricked. And, you know, so I shoved my last 7% just in case, like, knowing I'm going to get called by one pair and he's going to laugh at me. And the guy just like snap folds. That was like one of the most epic pots I ever played. And it was actually like one of the bigger, it was probably like 50% of the biggest pot I ever played. So I'm like a giant.
And he just snap folded for 7% of the river.
Snap folded for literally like 7% or something.
Oh, and God. Did you show?
No. I'm pretty sure I had the nut low. Actually, I think I had queen jack and the river was a 7 or something like it. But whatever it was, I know I had like the nut low or second nut low on the river. Because I remember just being like so happy and being like, just don't show anything. Like, don't say anything. Just like, this one's too good. Slide the cards in the muck.
Yeah. I mean, you're known as like a prolific bluffer. This is a bit of a segue because I saw somebody ask in the chat. They want to know how you get some of these bluffs that are pure air through, and where you come up with some of the lines and strategies. Is it like based off player tells, or, you know, just the players, you know, play style in general, where you pick these spots, or is it what's the basis for some of these spots?
Well, like, if you think about when we played online, I think you play pretty good. I probably didn't make many crazy bluffs against you, especially because it was a game. If it was me and you and, you know, 2 or 3 decent players playing for a month, like, yeah, probably I'd make some. But that game, I don't think you were worried about calling or folding to me slightly too much. Like, it was a really insane game where people were going insane. So I think it wasn't a smart time to try to, like, go nuts on people, right? Like, I probably made a few, got caught by you a few times. I don't remember exactly the score. But I think usually the crazier ones I did, either it was, like, sometimes on TV where I'd be like, oh, this will be funny. Like, let me try it, even if it's maybe losing a few pennies. Or some spot like that where, like, that live hand I said where I bluffed that I was literally about to, like, go all in on the turn. And I'm like, oh, wait a second. I think I've seen this guy do that before, just in case something crazy happens. And then, it happened. So, like, a bunch of the crazier bluffs I've made, I didn't really intend to get people to fold the hand they did. I just was like, let me do it this way just in case they fold that crazy hand.
But, yeah, so it's kind of like player based, obviously. And then, like, situational, of course.
Yeah, situation and player, I think. Like,
yeah. Well, I didn't. You took the cameras into account, though, huh? Sometimes in the live games.
Oh, for sure.
Have you? Yeah. Yeah,
of course. I mean, not as much. Like when I was playing the $1 million game, not. I wasn't. I thought other people were.
Yeah.
But like back in the day, high stakes poker, those games weren't huge, and it was like peak poker, like sponsorship kind of time, and a bunch of really good private games and stuff. So it was like, it was time to splash extra, you know?
Oh yeah. Cause it'd be kind of like, you can play a certain way and then get invited to private games, et cetera. We don't want to give away the sauce too much, but on TV, you can play a little bit more loose and wild and create an image that'll get you invited to a private game. Or
something. I don't even mind saying that stuff. I mean, I used to definitely do that stuff. It's not like I really would be saying, let me like intentionally burn money or something and be like, oh, if I think I'm risking 50K and maybe I'm winning $100, maybe I'm losing $100, maybe I wouldn't do it. Or like, what if I'm wrong and I'm losing 1K? And instead on TV, I'd be like, ah, fuck it, it's close, go for it. You know, so I was basically pushing a lot of those close spots.
Yeah.
And then I also noticed like, oh, this is weird. Everyone's calling less on TV. Like it definitely should be the opposite, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously that only worked for like 2 or 3 years for me. And then at a certain point, everyone was like, I'm on a TV game with Tom. I'm just going to call him every time. So I had to stop. But,
do you think you have like I know obviously a lot of these are private games, but do you think you have had like a favorite game or like, what do you reckon has been the peak feeling of your career? Because I know sometimes like the wins that, like even we just described that, like the biggest hand of your career was nowhere near your biggest hand. But like, is there a favorite point or where do we reckon was the peak happiness of you playing this game?
Probably just whenever I was winning the most. But as far as like favorite game, there was one game that ran for like a year, year and a half. That was probably the biggest game in the world at the time. We actually played here a bunch, Lazay. But it was mostly in Asia. And it was, actually that guy that beat me heads up, it was kind of a derivative of that game, but that game was just so good. It was like the game was really good. There wasn't a lot of weird pressure or bullshit around it. There wasn't like much shenanigans or shady shit around it, like at least for me. That, you know, normally when stuff gets really big, there's a lot of that stuff. So
just describe, so the game goes on for a year, you just like whenever there's certain times that you play? Or
I mean, it was probably like a year and a half that kind of game, similar group of people was running. Yeah. But, and it was a bunch of the bigger pots I played were in that. I think my few biggest actually were a slightly different game, but probably a bunch of like top 10 ones were in that one. So
do you have a favorite casino or city you like playing in?
I think probably Lazay actually, because it's like,
was that in London? Is that where you are, you said?
Yeah. I guess like it's sometimes Vegas, but it's been like 8 years since there's been big games in Vegas or something. Seven or 8 years, but at least the big like Asian ones that, you know, sometimes there's the Western ones, but it's not as easy for me to get in those. For whatever reason, like I can get in the Asian ones a lot easier. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, the games when you're a winner are definitely the most fun. I can attest to that. Do you drink at all when you play or do anything like that? I know these private games, they usually like encourage drinking and shit like that to, you know, get the VIPs going and get the game loosened up. I'm curious if you, how disciplined you stay on the straight and narrow when some of these vices come across these games.
Yeah, I mean, I will. I don't generally like want to, but I like don't really mind having a few drinks. I don't like when it's those like Vegas or LA or whatever, like the shots game, you know, if you're having a few glasses of wine, like as you play, it's fine. Right. If you're like doing shots and shit, it's like,
that's not,
I only want to be doing that if I'm at some party or something. And even then I'm like, yo, like I'm old enough. Let's have a beer or glass of wine or some shit, guys. Come on.
But, yeah. Sometimes they try to get a little too out of line with those for sure.
Yeah. I think it'd be good to loosen up a game. You know, if everyone has a few drinks or whatever, that's fine. When you're like pushing it, I don't like that vibe usually.
Yeah, those are probably the shadier games as well, if I had to guess, where they're pushing that vibe.
Seems like, yeah, you've been.
I've been in some of these shadier games. Yeah, no, for sure, man. I guess another question that we had come through: do you gamble in the pits at all? Like, I play a little Bach and blackjack. Do you play any of those games? Do you sports bet or anything like that? Or do you stay away from the darker side of the gambling world?
No, I mean, I have some. I wouldn't really advise it for people, but I have some.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel too.
I wanted to ask about crypto because you've had a bit of a like a pass in crypto as well, right? You've been involved in a few different things. Like, when did you first get involved in? Is I guess loads of poker players that seem to have been paid at some point in crypto, and then they just kind of got like red pilled to it.
But, yeah.
Yeah. How did you?
I was actually late. I was like, it was actually 2020. I was in Hong Kong, and it was right around when Uniswap launched, and a buddy of mine showed me it. That's actually like owns one of the biggest poker sites, and he showed me Uniswap and was like, yo, look at this volume. And I was like, oh shit, maybe I'm gonna focus on this a little more. And since then I've spent probably more time on crypto than poker the last few years. There's definitely times that's for a month or two that's not true, you know, I'm doing like all poker, but yeah.
You spend more time on crypto, you think?
Overall, yeah, I think so.
It's crazy. It is addictive, I mean, right? Like KSI, even, I mean, he's a bit of a joke, but he came out and was just like, yeah, I've started trading again and it's taken over my whole life and now I have to quit. And he only came back for like a month or two and then just like.
Yeah, that seems a little, he's not built different like the guys here. If you can only last 2 months in the trenches. Jesus Christ, KSI. Come on, buddy.
When did you guys get in?
Late. Oh, I got in late. We got in late. KBM was a little bit earlier than us, I think.
I've been here since 2018, but like not shies until like 2020, 2021. Been trading since like 2010.
When were you guys? Like 2020?
We were late 2020, early 2021 is when we got in. But we were traders beforehand. So we were involved in this, but just in a different market, basically. And then, crypto just seemed like the... You know, trades 24/7. The vol is insane. It's just more fun, right? It's just more fun. I mean, it can be horrific as well. Like the cycles of it mean that you can literally just be around and nursing losses for a long period. But yeah, I don't know. Like as a trader, I don't think I'd trade any other market now. Like it's just way too fun to trade.
So basically, last cycle, KBM dumped his bags on us.
But then I
we all dumped.
Maybe we'll dump each other at some point.
But these guys sold the fucking Bored Apes to the Maki Big Brother for like 20 mil. They dumped on his head. These are the guys.
That was you guys?
That was us. Yeah. That was me and you know. Yeah.
Whoa.
So they dumped too. We're a bunch of dumpers here. We like things outside of the internet too. We like to have money other places, you know. A lot of people seem to prefer just having crypto money, but it's nice to have money in real life too.
How many apes did you guys sell for 20 mil?
We sold him 72 apes it was within about a 30-second stint. It was when Blur was starting to come up and they were giving you points for like buying on Blur, and he didn't think anyone would sell. So he was just like, he was bidding like 50 apes. And this was like, no one was hitting people in that sort of size. And then me and Obi just spoke about it and we're like, yeah, let's just hit him. And then two transactions, he was bidding 78.2 and then 78.19. Like it was like a 0.01 ETH back bid for another 50 apes. So we just smashed him in both of them. Being said, like Matchy Big Brother has then come back and just done a pre-sale and got like $40 million. So he's kind of infamous in a way that means that he
creates money out of nothing. Like,
yeah, he's
in ways,
he's,
so.
How much are those apes worth now, you think?
Well, we sold them when we sold them, because we also sold the ape coin. So like that was, we got about 120 grand per ape for the ape coin. And then at the time we sold them, I think they were about 135 grand for the ape. And then I don't know where they are now, but that was in ETH as well. Right. So we got them in ETH. So we got them at 78 ETH or 78, which would be now.
It looks like it's been down only since that dump.
Yeah.
From the looks of it here, it looks like 10, 13 ETH. What is that?
Holy shit. They're 12 ETH now. And though ETH is obviously higher, but.
The good old days.
Batchy seems to have done okay. Batchy seems to have done okay.
Yeah, he got.
I'm sure he wasn't happy when he woke up.
Right.
He sold most of them, actually. I remember, like, within a few days, he actually sold them and then, like, bought them back again. Like, he definitely could have gotten out for that trade for very, very little compared to, like, what he ended up getting out of them for. But, yeah, NFTs is how we came in, and then we were like, yeah, we got to do this full time. But It is. I don't know if I could do like another wrist. I guess poker's strange though, right? Like, because it's now just become so theory based that it's more difficult. Like when you're not playing and you're just like, oh, I'll come back to poker, you can feel quite far behind because you just feel like in that time that you're not playing, you know that these people are just like studying the models, and like that must be frustrating as a poker player because it feels like it's gone away from instinct to like you need to like be revising 24/7. And I just don't know if that's, I'd enjoy something like that now.
Well, I think so many of the games now got like very political. It's just about getting in the games, you know, like the, I mean, if you think about like the game KBM and I play it online, like the edge either of us have is, I don't think much difference, you know, because it's like you have people just really like no idea what they were doing kind of thing. So it's all about like getting in those kind of spots because everyone can go study and shit. So,
yeah, I think that's a difference, right? It's like what Mando's talking about doesn't really exist in these high stakes VIP games that are political. Like Tom's saying, like, it's like, you know, a pool of 20, 30 whales that come play.
It's so weird VIP though.
Games. Those are the only good spots left. Like, you know,
that's what everyone says.
So then you don't have to study too much, because if you do study, maybe you won't be allowed in to those games in the first place.
Yeah.
So it is political. And I mean, yeah, it's a balancing act. To be a poker pro, it seems like it's hard now.
I wouldn't advise people to do
it. Yeah, right.
Really like it. Whereas like 15 years ago, it's not like I was going on the street saying, you know, you guys should learn poker. But people that wanted to get into it, I wouldn't have like necessarily tried to talk them out of it that much. I'd be like, all right, if you really like it, here's what I did. Whatever. Good luck. Now I'm kind of like, are you sure?
Yeah, it's a lot different, that's, right?
I actually think it makes a lot of sense for people as like a side hobby, you know.
Oh, you froze.
Whether you win or lose small money, if people, right, or like learn some, play some, but to actually try to like make it your main job is a lot harder now than it was like 15 years ago, I think.
Yeah, or just be considered the sort of play, like it's almost the optimal thing. Like the weird thing about this whole like optimization thing is like you actually miss some of those of the games that like you guys are playing, you guys are talking about. You want to be involved in that like second tier of like fun players who aren't just like revising all the time. And if you go for the top tier, like actually you're never going to be invited to any of the games. If you're just like some mask kid who's just like, he's clearly got no personality and doesn't really play with instinct, then you're never going to get invited to the fun games that everyone wants to play, right? So it's weird that, like you said, it's more political now, and sometimes playing the wrong way just won't get you those invites.
Yeah, I think it's... And people that enjoy poker sometimes get good spots now because they're not studying nonstop, they're not whatever, they get in some random good spot, then maybe they focus a little. But yeah.
Yeah, definitely political. Yeah, story. We were playing a high stakes VIP game. A friend of the show, or friend of ours, Ben Lamb, he limped aces. And then he got the showdown when he limped aces pre, and they kicked him off the table immediately. So they're like, get the fuck up, you're done, Ben. So that's the politicalness of it. If you're a pro, you try to do some sneaky shit, you get booted sometimes. So hilarious shit like that nowadays. Where, you got to be careful in the VIP games. If you're not a VIP, I guess, but funny ass story. But I don't know. Do we have any more live trades now that the show's coming to an end, or did we get completely fucked?
So we would have, but I took off that Pepe trade while we were talking, and then I went short. And then
what? You just went rogue?
I went rogue because I could. It felt like it topped, but we made about $3,000. It looks like okay. So.
How much would we have made if you didn't?
Take we would have lost everything.
Active manager. This is why they pay Mando the big bucks. I guess let's get out.
We got 2.8.
All right. So what do we do here? Do we give that away or gamble it?
Well, we can do. We've done. You know, this is the classic. Do you gamble or not at the end of the game? Like,
we can't roller coaster it.
Well, we can't, or we won't.
That's a good question. Give it away. Chat. Two people in the chat said give it away. I think
we haven't given away a prize.
Everyone wants to give it away.
Yeah, okay.
We'll give it away. The chat needs money after the past couple of days. Let's just give it away.
How many people in the chat?
I don't...
We have 2,000 live viewers, it looks like, just over. So decent amount. Oh, yeah, all in Roller Coaster Lego. God.
Awesome. No, we're not. We're giving it away today. I don't know how we're giving it away.
Some people asked for the some people have been asking for the codes pretty hard. I haven't been able to pay my rent because there wasn't a code last week. It was one of the cons. Have we got
Let's do the last code. Let's give this shit away.
We are gonna kidnap the intern.
The intern. Is he the duck intern or just no, that's a different intern. That's
All right. Second code is FreeCZ425. I'm not gonna say CZ. FreeCZ425.
We sure we don't want a Roller Coaster Vista end?
No, just
yo, the CZ thing, by the way, he flew to America and like they always tried to say that about like the poker site people and stuff, everyone would get a fair shake. I'm not saying CZ's a saint by any stretch, but I thought him getting beyond house arrest was a little much, like from what's both public. Like I thought that if they wanted to whack him with a bigger fine, like fair enough. But like the dude flew to the US. It's like such bad precedent. It's like, oh yeah, come to the US now.
Maybe that's why he got such a lax sentence, though. Maybe that's where the lax sentence came from.
But I'm saying,
I know everyone was kind of surprised. Like, what?
I think he thought he was probably not getting jail. And he like flew there, you know, if they found something new or whatever, obviously they were able to. As far as I know, I don't think they really found anything new.
You froze a little bit.
Sorry.
You froze. Oh, no, you're choppy.
Sorry. I was just saying, I think, like, stick him on house arrest or something if you want, but, like...
Jam, it is kind of interesting.
Like, they rugged him.
They basically rugged him. Yeah, bait and switch. Come hang! And then fucking go to jail.
They're like, no, use our dollar. Don't do crypto. You can trust us. Oh, the guy that ran the biggest exchange, come here. Oh, yeah, we're rugging you.
It is. I would agree. That is kind of wild. He was in Dubai. He was in the UAE. There's no extradition likely, and he still came. That's kind of fair play. Fair play to him.
Yeah, I mean, and I think if he did that and they were like, listen, fuck you, like, follow the law, sit on
Then he'd probably have to live his whole life, like, avoiding certain countries and shit. He's probably like, whatever, bro. I'll just deal with this shit. Take the 4 months or whatever.
Right, but I thought when he flew there that he thought it wasn't going to be jail. That was probably.
Or, like, maybe, yeah, I don't know. But it seems like it'd be harder to live in, like, fear. And, like, Dubai is a prison in itself if you just stay there. So, fucking, like, if you can't leave, I don't know. Seems like
now you're going to go to Dubai. They're going to show that clip and be like, KBM.
Yeah, right. I'm fucked. I can't go to Dubai ever again. Just slandered it. But, all right. How are we giving away this money?
Your call, really.
My call.
Yeah, like we would normally do a bring them up, but I don't know if
we're not bringing them up. Just pull names. Intern, you got names? Just draw three names and let's run it.
All right, we can do that. Yeah, so let's draw it. Three names. Looks like it's going to be about...
We'll just split it three ways.
Yeah, not 900 each.
Hopefully they're not all bots, huh?
Why don't you just give them like 300 each and roller coaster like $400?
I know, man.
We went down this road every week, Tom, and we never give away anything. We feel bad at this point.
So Mehmet, Sam, and the Hot Bandito 9 are our winners this week.
All right. Sam, the Hot Bandito 9, Mehmet, Ramazan. Congratulations. Intern will get in touch, or you DM us, please.
Or you DM the intern.
On the Rekt Radio account. Tom, thanks for coming on, bro. It was fun shooting the shit. And getting some lowdown on some of the fun you've had. I don't know. Maybe I'll see you in the poker streets hopefully soon.
I thought I was going to be able to buy a meme coin that went like 1,000x. Instead, I just
can. My
friend. I know. What do you want to pump up? Are we going to pump out fund something? Well, all right, bring up the pumped out fund.
No, don't make me do it. Don't make me do it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't think you guys can do a second one, actually, right?
No. We can probably get one to go to like 10 mil instantly and not really get anything out of it. But, I mean,
I think
if I even suggest it, the chat will go absolutely wild. So we're not even suggesting making another one.
That's how we do it in zero on a social credit scale. We don't want that. So we'll stick to just the dot coin. But anyway. Enjoy
It was great having you, man.
Good luck in the tourneys and shit that you're playing in Cambodia. All right. Catch you later.
Bye, guys.